Good morning again, everyone. If you've got a Bible with you, if you want to turn, please, to John chapter 3. I'm going to pray just before we look at the Word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, we thank you for your Word this morning. And we ask, Almighty God, that your Word would do its work in each of our lives and in the lives of those who will listen to the podcast or maybe through Facebook. We pray that the Holy Spirit would take this Word of God and speak it, Lord, right into people's souls. Father, this morning we speaking of a truth that Jesus spoke, a truth that is above all other truths. In fact, every other truth that Jesus spoke rests upon this truth. We pray that this truth would set people free today. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week in his talk, entitled Purging the Church, Keith spoke about the zeal or the zealousness of Jesus. And we heard how his zeal made Jesus really angry that the temple in Jerusalem, the central place of worship of God, had become like a bazaar, a market for unscrupulous traders. And Jesus said, and the Word of God says, that my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. Imagine that Jesus was directing this not just to the trade people who were there, the business people who were flogging the different things for the sacrifices and the money changers. He was speaking this to the religious leaders. He was speaking this to the religious hierarchy in Israel, in Jerusalem. He was saying to them, my house, he was declaring, my house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers. And we were discussing this when you watch the godless channels, that very often it's still very much the same. You see, some of these so-called prosperity gospel preachers who are making God's house a den of robbers. In righteous anger, Jesus drove these traders and money changers out of the temple. And Keith suggested that a lot of churches today have become caught up in worldly commerce and secular affairs, hoping more, and this is very sad, hoping more to gain interest on money that they invest in worldly business rather than seeking to get people interested in Jesus and the ways of God. And I said the Western church could do with a good purging. I just wonder, though, how we Christians would cope if we experienced physical persecution like some of our brothers and sisters in other parts of this world, if we were imprisoned, if we were put out of our jobs and our homes simply for being Christians. I wonder how I would cope as a Christian with that type of persecution. But the question this morning is this: are we Christian? Are we zealous for God and his glory? Or are we more interested in worldly affairs rather than helping others to gain interest in the things of God? See, if we don't help others to gain interest in the things of God, those others are going to hell. And God says their blood will be required of you. You need to read the entire Bible to see this, that when God gives you a message of hope, a message of salvation to take to others, and you don't do it, and they die in their sins, that will be required of you. God will say, why did you not tell them when the opportunity arose? So following on from the zeal of Jesus, I want to speak this morning about the truth of Jesus, or rather, truth Jesus taught. Now, I believe everything Jesus said and taught was and is true. But there is a vital truth Jesus taught, which is the fundamental truth of the gospel. It is absolutely pivotal to the salvation of any soul. Without this truth, no one is going to heaven. If you haven't heard this truth, if you haven't applied this truth to your life, you are not saved. You are not going to heaven. This is the one truth above all truth that Jesus spoke. Upon this truth, everything else Jesus said and taught stands. Without believing and acting upon this vital truth, no one, absolutely no one, will see or enter heaven. However, extremely essential and incredibly fundamental as this truth actually is, Jesus only ever, in his 3 years of ministry, only ever mentioned it twice while speaking to a man called Nicodemus, which is what we're going to read this morning. John chapter 3. And we're reading the first 8 verses and then over to 16. John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit." And down to verse 16, famous verse. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The truth Jesus taught, which is fundamental, the fundamental truth of the gospel and pivotal to the salvation of any soul, is that a person must, no doubt about it, unquestionable, must be born again. There is no room for ambiguity here. There is no doubt in what Jesus is saying. For the salvation of any soul, it doesn't matter if you're in Outer Mongolia, it doesn't matter if you're in darkest Africa, it doesn't matter if you're in Donaghadee, it doesn't matter where that soul may be, unless you are born again, you cannot be saved. As I said, upon this truth, everything else Jesus said and taught stands. You must be born again. You know, a lot of Asian religions, including among others Buddhists and Hindus and Sikhs, they teach the doctrine of reincarnation or rebirth. And it's a belief that's also held by many tribal communities around the world. But reincarnation is just one of Satan's many counterfeits of the truth that Jesus taught. The word reincarnation literally means re-entering or entering the flesh again, and suggests migration after death into another body form, be it human, animal, plant, or spirit. No, my luck, I'll get a cat, because I hate them. You know, if you're into that reincarnation, you know, what do you think you're coming back as? I'm bound to get a cat. Bound to, because I'm forever throwing stones and all at them to get them out of my garden. But the worst form of reincarnation is naraka, when a person has actually been reincarnated into a resident of hell. Naraka. And this satanic doctrine of reincarnation is not what Jesus meant when he said, "You must be born again." In the days of Jesus' ministry on the earth, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were the Jewish religious hierarchy, they quarreled all the time over the doctrine of resurrection from the dead. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection, whereas the Sadducees didn't. But the truth of a physical, listen for this, the truth of a physical resurrection for all mankind, not just for Christians, the truth of a physical resurrection for all mankind is still not what Jesus meant by being born again. You see, unbeliever, you're going to be physically resurrected on the last day, but you're being resurrected for hell. Nicodemus, this man who came to Jesus by night, he was a Pharisee. He was one of the religious leaders. And he believed in the resurrection from the dead. And he came to speak to Jesus at nighttime because he possibly didn't want to be seen by any of the other religious leaders as him going to speak to Jesus. And Nicodemus knew Jesus was someone special, even a teacher sent by God. We know that you are a teacher sent from God. For no man can do these things, Jesus, that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus just cuts through the flattery and gets straight to the point with Nicodemus. Most assuredly, or if you were a kid coming here to Sunday school, it was verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he or she cannot, under any circumstances, cannot see the kingdom of God. And puzzled, Nicodemus asks, but how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Pretty difficult if she's dead. Jesus tells him, unless a person is born of water, talking here flesh and blood, and the Spirit, he cannot or she cannot enter the kingdom of God. Unless a person is born of water, that's flesh and blood, and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So to be clear, Jesus is saying, unless a person, and obviously if they are a person, then it's signifying birth. Unless a person is born again of the Spirit, they can neither see nor enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus goes on, don't be amazed, Nicodemus. Don't be amazed at what I've said. You must be born again. Don't be amazed at this because you're not going to fully understand it. That's what he's saying, because he goes on in verse 8 and explains about the wind blows where it wills and you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going to. And Jesus explains that just as the wind blows and we hear it, but we don't know where it comes from or where it goes to, so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. In other words, we can see the effects of it, but we might not understand how it works. Nonetheless, to see, to understand the things of God, and to enter the kingdom of God now and for eternity, a person must be born again. Let me say that again so that you grasp this. To see, it's not talking about why I can see the kingdom of God. It's about understanding. It's about insight into. To see, to understand the thing. See, an unbeliever cannot understand the thing. An unbeliever, the vast majority of people out there think we're loopers, because we come in here to praise and worship the Lord. And they just can't see it. And that's why you hear them saying, have you seen the light? Like Paul saw the light on the road to Damascus and he was saved. So the people out there are still in darkness and they can't see, they can't understand the things of God. They just don't, the Bible just seems like a dead book. Unless a person is born again, they cannot see, understand the things of God, and they cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And it's not just when you die, enter into it. It means now. That when a person is born again, they enter immediately into the kingdom of God. And I keep saying this, I do not believe in the loss of salvation. You can't jump one day into the kingdom of God and the next day jump out. It's not possible. So let's be clear. To see, to understand the things of God and to enter the kingdom of God now and for eternity, a person must be born again. Now, let me try to explain this a little bit further. Yesterday, I was doing some work at the house, and as I came out, I looked in my garden, my next door neighbor's garden, and she's a black and white cat that I'm not a big fan of. But it was sitting in the middle of the garden, and then I looked, and I seen it moving, and there was this wee mouse, a wee field mouse, and it had it almost like between its paws. And I felt sorry for the wee mouse, and I thought, I have to try and rescue it. I could nearly see the fear in the mouse's eyes. And I sort of went, and I hate the cat, and I didn't want to go into their garden, so I just went, shoo, try to scare the cat away. But it was wise, it just lifted the mouse in between its teeth and jumped over the wall and bolted. And as I got into the motor and reversed out, it was down in another neighbour's garden, and I could see, anyway, they're very cruel with mice. They let them run away a wee bit, and then they hit them with their paw. And I wanted to get out and hit the cat a kick, but I just thought, you know what? It's nature, and hey, it's keeping the mice out of my house, you know? So, but imagine, if you will, this morning, and I know it might be hard for you, but, and don't smile, I'll do the smiling part, but imagine there's a cat lying dead on the floor right beside me. So we've got a dead cat sitting in front of me. In fact, let's not be too cruel. We've got a dead dog sitting in front of me. In fact, let's add another one. We've got a dead drunk. Now, I don't mean he's dead drunk as in he's blittered. I mean he's a drunk who's dead. And then we'll have a reasonably good person who's dead. And then we'll have the vilest, most horrible sinner lying beside him. And they're dead as well. Firstly, from my pocket, and I would have loved to be able to catch up with you most yesterday to do this. From my pocket, I bring out a living mouse. And I go down to the dead cat and I shake the living mouse under its nose. Will the cat respond? No. Why? Because it's dead. So, just to be sure, I let the mouse go and I'll lift the dead cat and I'll shake the dead cat under the nose of the dog. And I'll shake it and shake it and shake it. Will the dog respond? Why? Because it's dead. Well, then I'll go to the drunkard and I'll open up a bottle of Jack Daniels and I'll pour a wee bit underneath his nose and I'll shake it under his nose and I'll do whatever you want me to do under his nose. Will the drunk respond? No. He better not, because I'll be drinking it. No, why? Because he's dead. So then I'll go to the really nice person, and I'll go to the vilest sinner, both lying dead beside each other, and I'll scream at them both, you can go to heaven, you can go to heaven. There's a way to get to heaven, there's a way to get to heaven. Will either of them respond? Why? Because they are dead. And so the truth Jesus told Nicodemus, and it applies today, is because all people born into this world are born in sin, they are dead to God. You could have the greatest life on this planet and you could have the greatest health in this planet, but you are dead to God because of sin. And you are dead to the things of God. Which explains why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Now, to understand why this is the most vital truth Jesus taught is because unless these things were brought back to life, none of what I was offering them would be of any use. And so unless a human being is brought back to spiritual life, They cannot see or understand the things of God, and they will never be able to make any move towards entering the kingdom of God. That's why this is the fundamental truth of the gospel and pivotal to the salvation of any soul. Unless a man or woman is born again, they cannot see, they cannot understand the things of God or enter into the kingdom of God. Now, let me be clear about something here. And I'll try and put this as bluntly. Unless a person is born again, they can't know God. Don't fool yourself. Unless a person is born again, they cannot know God, and they can never enter into a relationship with Him. So, in Northern Ireland, one community thinks, when they hear the words, "You must be born again," that it means you must become a prod. Because the images of Big Ian Paisley standing shouting City Hall and wherever else, "You must be born again." He's proclaiming truth. But people see it as, that means you must become a prod. The other community thinks being born again means, oh, you have to go to church, you have to sing hymns, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you have to stop swearing. And you know what? None of these things are actually correct. Being born again means the Holy Spirit of God gives you spiritual life and brings you into a right relationship with God as your Father. Now, when I would go and speak to Catholics about Jesus and the gospel of Jesus, I never used the terms, "you must be born again," because I know in the mindset of many, it means you must become a Protestant. So what I say to them is, you need to be in a right relationship with God. You need to know God as your Father. And I know it's impossible for a person to know God as their Father unless they're born again. But I don't have to use that term, because the Holy Spirit, like the wind, comes and goes as He will. And when He moves upon a person's life, that person can be born again without the terms even being used. Being born again is a work of the Holy Spirit. It is He who gives spiritual life and brings people into a relationship with God as their Father. Without the Holy Spirit doing this, people remain dead to God and dead to the things of God, and therefore will never see or enter the kingdom of God. Everything else Jesus said, everything else that Jesus taught, stands upon this truth. Why? Because no truth that Jesus teaches will speak into a dead person. You must be born again, and that's the Spirit of God's job. But let me tell you how simple it is to be born again. It's not a complicated thing. It's not me having to look for some sort of spiritual defibrillator and standing puffing away at your chest and hitting you with some sort of spiritual electric shocks to bring you back to life. Just as simply as the wind blows, comes and goes, that's what the Spirit of God does. And all it requires is a person to say, "Lord, have mercy on me, sinner. Forgive me. And please come into my heart and life." And in a moment like that, the Spirit of God will move. And you know what? Doesn't matter whether you feel it. Doesn't matter whether you know it for definite. Doesn't matter whether you understand it. You might not understand how it happens, but very soon you'll begin to see the effects. Christian, the wonderful news for you is, you have been born again by the Spirit of God. You who were once dead to God and dead to the things of God are alive through Jesus. As I say to people when they say to me, "What about you, Tally? How are you doing?" I'm still among the living in the land of the dead. And it's true. I'm still among the living in the land of the dead. And Christian, you are among the living in the land of the dead. Because the Spirit of God enabled you to believe and act upon this vital truth, you have been born again to glorify God, to serve Him, and enjoy Him forever. And you have the truth that sets people free. So tell others, and don't be afraid to do so. tell others they must be born again. They must, through Jesus, be brought into a right relationship with God. Maybe there's somebody this morning who's not yet a Christian and you're listening to the podcast or the Facebook. If you're not yet a Christian, it can simply be down to two reasons. Firstly, you've heard that you need to be born again. You've heard it already if you're listening now. You've heard it from me. You've heard that you need to be born again, or saved is another term that we Christians use, or brought into a right relationship with God through repentance. That's confessing your sin, admitting to God you're a sinner and turning from it and putting your trust in Jesus. But you know what? You haven't believed or acted upon what you've been told. You've heard it, but you've done sod all about it. In this instance, if you never see or enter the kingdom of God, the responsibility rests with you. Don't blame God. You were told. Secondly, or the second reason why you may not yet be a Christian, is because the Holy Spirit hasn't enabled you to be born again. And you know what? See, unless he does, you will die in your sin and you'll go to hell. But the good news is this. Jesus said this, and the Holy Spirit heard him saying it, and he follows it up every time. Jesus said, whoever believes in me and acts upon, it's not just, yes, I believe in Jesus, it means acts upon that belief. Whoever believes in me, and that includes you this morning, whoever believes in me, Jesus said, shall not perish, shall never perish, will never see the fires of hell, but have everlasting life, now and for eternity. Right now, why not accept what Jesus says? Why not humbly and honestly ask the Holy Spirit to help you to believe, to have faith in Jesus? He will do it. He will help you so that you too might be born again. Without believing and acting upon this important truth, no one, don't kid yourself, no one will ever see or enter heaven. And this is the truth of Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Of when he said, you must be born again, he wasn't mincing his words. He was telling us that every human being born into this world are dead in sin. Dead to God and dead to the things of God. Spiritually, no understanding. Spiritually, no life. But you've shown, Lord Jesus, that by your death, you paid the price for sin, so that whosoever believes in you, whosoever calls upon your name, whosoever asks you to forgive them for their sin and to come into their life, that the Spirit of God will move upon them. They may not fully understand what is happening, but they will see the effects of his move as they will be born again and will see and enter the kingdom of God now and for eternity. Lord, we pray this morning for us who are Christians that you would help us, because we have such wonderful truth that can set others free, that you would help us to take the opportunities that present to tell people that they must be born again. They must be brought into a right relationship with God through Jesus. And I pray, Lord God, for others who are not yet saved. Lord, graciously, mercifully, let the Spirit of God speak into their souls right now. And tell them they must be born again, and may they ask him to make them born again through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen.